brother and sister. Amen. It's good to be a Christian. It's good to know that you have nothing to fear. It's good to fight the battles. They're a blessing. Amen. Appreciate you can make it out. We'll just see what God has for us tonight. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful we can be here, Lord, that you would draw us here together, Lord. There's a zeal, there's a desire in our heart to be here, Lord. Father, you put it there. It's your love. It's drawing us to you, and it's your love inside of us, Father, that we want to express back to you. Lord, our love for you, Father. We recognize so many things you've done, but there's so much more that we want to know, so much we want to see. We need revelation, Lord Jesus. We need you to reveal more of yourself, Lord. We want to see that tonight. Father, we're not here because of our goodness, our holiness, or because we know anything, Lord. We're here just because we long for you. So, Father, we ask you to come and satisfy this desire. Come, Lord Jesus, and be the reality for us tonight. We ask for blessing the ones that aren't here tonight, Lord, for whatever reason they're not here, Lord. Just, Lord, you know their situations, Father. Heal them, strengthen them, Lord. Watch over them. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you want to turn your Bible to Psalm 69, we're going to read just one verse and be seated. Then we're going to read some more out of that psalm, but just don't want to keep you standing too long. It's Thursday night. People are tired. I definitely understand that. Psalm 69, verse 9. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. You may be seated. For the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. We're going to talk a little bit tonight. Not going to stay long, I don't believe. On zeal. And this, before church last Sunday, I was standing in the hall there talking to Brother Jerry and Brother Martin. And Brother Martin made a quote. He quoted something Brother Branham said in the Church Aid book. And it struck me when he said it, and it wouldn't leave. And so over the next several days, you know, I'd be meditating, thinking of what God would have me preach, and it always went back to that quote. And so I said, well, maybe this is what he wants. And that's typically the way God does something. You hear something, or someone says something, or you read something, or a thought just comes, go through your mind, and the next thing you know, it won't go away. And so you just start looking at it and studying, and pretty soon God has put it all together. And so we're going to speak on it, just start up tonight, and then I think we're going to hit it pretty hard Sunday, if the Lord doesn't change my mind. But just kind of put a foundation in what we're talking about, zeal. Zeal is not an emotion. It's not an emotion that you work up. Just like sincerity is not an emotion you work up. Faith is not an emotion you work up. It can express itself. Love, God's love, is not an emotion that you work. I'm going to love people. All right. Go do that. In your own ability there. Play Cain for a little bit. God, look how impressed. Aren't you impressed? Look how much I love people. Look how sincere I am. Look at me worship. See, it's so close to the real thing. But when you put your own self into it, because I need to be more zealous at church, so I'm going to go and just really be on fire today at church. Sit down. Just stop. All right? You're not where you need to be. What it needs to be, brother and sister, this zeal and the you know, what's the word I just used? I can't even think anymore. But sincerity. You know, your desperation. These things need to be an outworking of what's in the soul. It's the love of God in you expressing itself out. That's what God accepts. That's when you're really zealous for God, is because there's something inside of you bubbling out, and you say, I got to get to church. I want to get around believers. I want to see God. I just want to see this prosper. It's a fervent desire. It's your spirit. Your spirit is so fervent to see God that nothing's going to keep you away. My. You know what else it is? I love this. It's a jealousy. Oh my. It's a jealousy. Like a man, he's jealous over his wife. He doesn't want anyone to defile her. He doesn't want anyone to touch her. He doesn't want anything to mess with her. He's going to protect her. He's going to stand there and say, don't you mess with her. That's the way God is with his church. That's the way God, he stands. He's jealous over her with a godly jealousy. And if we have the same spirit in us, then we are too. We look at the bride, we look at our church, we look at this group of people and say, I don't want anything to defile this body of Christ. It's a zeal, definition, as a great energy or enthusiasm. It's the pursuit of a cause or an objective. It's a passion, it's ardor, it's fervor, it's fire, it's devotion, it's enthusiasm, it's eagerness, it's vigor, it's energy, it's intensity, and it's fanaticism. Does that describe your walk with Christ? Well, Brother Phil, sometime it does. And sometime it doesn't. Welcome to the human race. Don't you dare let Satan beat you down. Well, you're not zealous enough. Come on. But if you don't see any of it, what's wrong? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to just jump off a little bit. I'm going to tell you, brother, sister, the main problem that I see in myself and other people, is when we come to church with the wrong attitude, we come to church not really ready to hear what, it's very simple. We are not walking close enough with Christ before we come to church. And so many times, our religion is a Sunday morning to Thursday night religion. Come to church Sunday morning, the preacher preaches me happy, I go home, I do my stuff, and I don't even think about God until Thursday night. It's time to go back to church. And we don't pray, and we don't spend our time with this relationship with Jesus. I'm not talking about go home and read a certain amount and pray a certain amount and have this schedule and ritual. I'm not talking about a ritual. I'm talking about a relationship with God where you want to be with him. You want to take the time and pray. You want to get there because it creates such an atmosphere. I am so sick and tired of the only time in a good atmosphere is when I'm coming out of church. Why can't I have that atmosphere all the time, Brother Paul? Why do I have to wait till Brother Jerry preaches me happy and then I can be good and, hey, I'm feeling really good. And by the time Sunday morning rolls around, I'm right back down in the doldrums. Why? Because I did not take the time to have a relationship with Christ. That's all it is. And that comes down to can I be honest? It's just a lack of love. We prefer something else. And that's where this old nature comes in, because there's so many things to do. There's so much fun things to do. There's so many things we have to do, and it gets in our way, and pretty soon we realize, you know what, it's been 3 days, and I barely said thank you to God for anything. You ever been there? Every week? We can have that atmosphere around. We can create it. You know, I hear people say, well, we have faith. We have spoken word. We can create a world and go live on it. Can't even create an atmosphere around themselves. And they're thinking about creating a whole world. Just get that part right. Create the atmosphere around you. Walk around in the right atmosphere. Walk around in faith. Walk around in the right attitude. You do that, you'll come to church with zeal. You come to church and you say, man, it's been great this week. I have had a wonderful week. I've been walking with Christ. And I can't wait to get to church. Because it's going to strengthen me all that much more. And when Satan just harasses you all week, and so you just feel beat down constantly and just down and down and down, and you're struggling, you say, no, I'm going to have a good attitude, and I'm going to believe, and I'm going to be happy, and I'm going to walk in joy, and it's just beating you down and beating you down and beating you down, and you get to church and say, I'm here. I fought the devil all week. I fought the good fight. Strengthen me, Lord. You don't have to come crawling in, thing all beat down and all feeling so bad about everything because of you've been beat down. You can come in. It doesn't matter if Satan's been beating on you all week. You don't have to walk around in defeat. You don't have to walk around in defeat. You can create an atmosphere around you of faith. You can say, you know what? He has beat me down. I don't feel like it. Can I just be honest? On the way to church, I was fighting the whole time. I did not feel like coming. I did not feel like it. Why? Because Satan had created such an atmosphere around, just bombarding, 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 just this one thing after another. And I just felt like I was in a dirty air. Where is the good thoughts? Where is the presence of Christ? Where was anything that just felt, I was so unanointed feeling that it was like, how am I going to preach tonight? Now, I could have just took that and got on the doldrums and come here and just like, man, I don't know. I don't feel like being in church any more than people who didn't come. It's my choice. It's your choice. I choose not to be walk around in defeat if I don't have to. I choose to believe that God is going to come and meet us here because he said he would. My. Just all he says is, I just want you to believe me. Go to church and see what happens. See what I do. See if I'm not the mighty warrior. See if I'm not the same one who stood there and created this world and said, let there be and there was. See if I don't come and create that again tonight. See if I'm not the one who stands there, who went to Calvary for you and died for you and suffered so you don't have to. See if I'm not the same one who's there tonight. See if you can outreach my love. See if Satan's greater than my love. See if he's greater than my word. See if he can keep you from receiving a blessing tonight. God challenges us. You don't feel like coming to church? Come and see what I can do for you. My. Right now I'm thinking, what if I would have listened to that and not come to church? Already it's been worth it for me to be here because he has come and proven. He said, take me at my word. Just test me. Take my word and see what I do. Believe me and see what I do for you. It's not an emotional workup. It's a faith that's expressing itself out and saying, I'm going to get to church because I want that blessing that he has for me tonight. I want to get down and pray at home because I want to walk in that atmosphere. I want to think on the things. I want to spend time in the Word. I want to listen to tapes because I want to see what God's going to do for me because I want to be closer to him. I want to walk where I can be driving down the road and all of a sudden his presence just falls. I can be walking through Kroger's and all of a sudden his presence just falls around. He says, I just want you to know I just really love you and I just appreciate this, creating this atmosphere where I can come and fellowship with you. He is longing to fellowship with us, and so many times he can't because we have such an atmosphere around us of defeat. My. He ever just come and bless you sometime just out of the clear blue sky? You're just going about your business until all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is there. What's he doing? You've been walking in an atmosphere of faith. He said, I appreciate that. Let me come and walk with you a while. He longs for you. He loves you. This is what he's longing for, a relationship with you. He doesn't want your religion. He wants your heart. That's all he's ever wanted. We want to offer God, I'm praying. I'm listening to taste. He said, I just want your heart. Quit creating a religion around and just love me the way I love you. A fervent spirit. Fierceness of indignation. I like that. Fierceness of indignation. Don't you dare defile my church. This explains why he preaches the way he does sometimes. He says, I'm not going to have you defile my church. You're not going to bring that nasty spirit in here. Defending something, a punitive zeal. Let's go back to here in Psalm 69. Going to read down through it. Start at verse 1. Let's see what David was talking about. He comes down here. He says, for the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. What's he talking about? Why does that fit in there? Let's find out. Because see, David here, he's crying out to God. And David is going through a hard time. He is suffering. Verse 1, it says, oh God. He says, save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am coming to deep water where the floods overflow me. He was just feeling beat down. He was feeling defeated. He's saying, I don't know where I'm standing. I'm having problems all over the place. Satan is just harassing me. He's crying out, said, save me. He said, I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fail while I cry and whine and moan. He said, no, while I wait for my God. He ain't speaking this in defeat. He ain't saying, oh God, I don't know if I'm gonna make it. He says, save me, God, because I'm in a hard place, but I will wait for you. What's David's problem? He has a zeal for God. And Satan hates him for it. And Satan is trying to destroy him. And now let's look how he goes about it. Verse 4, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. Oh, brother. So now we find out that if you have a zeal for God, you are going to be hated. Because the unbelievers and the make-believers and the devils and everyone else is going to dislike you because your life is pointing out the emptiness of theirs. Think about it. You come to church and you're in a good mood and you worship and you raise a little ruckus and you praise God and you do whatever and look at all the people glaring at you like, why don't you just sit down and be quiet? I ain't in the mood for you. Oh, they don't do that. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, they don't say that. They say, I don't think that brother should be doing that. He's out of order. They'll go and find some quote. They'll get religious about it. But the reason why is because when they see the victory in your life, it shows that lack of victory in theirs, and that just don't sit well with them. So they got to defend themselves. They got to find an excuse and justify the lack of victory in their own life. That's all that is. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. You see that? David didn't do anything to earn their enemies, to earn their dislike. They're his enemies because they don't like the zeal he had for God. And brother and sister, you can look around this town, you can look around the message, you can look around anywhere you want, and you can see people who are going on with God and see all the people who have got something bad to say about you. Dixon Church has still not got a good reputation, folks. They're still saying bad things about us, and a lot of it's because of the ministry you sit under. If you just run Brother Jerry off and get someone in here who could be nicer to people, then you wouldn't have such a reputation. But there you go, sitting there. What's wrong with you? Then he said, being my enemies wrongfully are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. What's he saying there? What do you mean you restore now? You ever been a kid and your sibling did something that was wrong and you got in trouble for it? That's not fair. It ain't fair. What's he saying? He said, you know what? I've been accused of something. You know what? They said, you stole that mule from me. No, I didn't. But you know what? Here you go. I'm not going to argue with it. They asked John, what should we do? John told him, he said, when those Roman soldiers want you to carry their armor for a mile, carry it too. If someone asks you for their coat, give them your cloak too. That's the attitude. Humble. They are saying evil against me. Don't say nothing back. But they said, I said this. They said, I said that. They said this about me. And they said this about me. People are going to think evil about me. Let them think it. Who are you trying to defend? It's hard to do. Bear the accusations. Don't argue. Don't defend yourself. Then he says, verse 5, he said, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Look, he's not there hiding behind some religious cloak, some religious, oh God, look how good I'm. He said, no, I have foolishness. I have faults. You know them. I repent and I admit them. He's not there trying to paint himself. I have done nothing wrong. No, he has done wrong. We know David did wrong. Haven't you? Haven't we all? It's not trying to hide behind some kind of religion like Adam did. Then he says, let not them that wait on thee, O God, O Lord, God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. What's he saying? He said, let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake. Okay, he said, don't let me be a stumbling stone. Don't let my faults be a stumbling stone for someone else. Don't let me be a reproach to you. You know my faults. You know my foolishness. You know my weaknesses. Don't let me be a reproach. Why? Because he doesn't want anyone to be weakened by his mess. He don't want to be a thorn in the side of anyone. He doesn't want to defile the church, the church of the living God, with his mess. Someone sees Brother Phil out there doing this. Well, if Brother Phil can do it, I can do it because he's a preacher. That's what he's talking about, that kind of approach. He said, don't let me come to church with some kind of bad attitude that other people see it and they're weakened by it. Why? Because he had a zeal. He wanted to see God. One place he said, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee. Like, oh, that my soul thirsteth for God. That's what mattered to him. If we would develop that thirst, that kind of zeal, brother and sister, we couldn't stay away from church. Satan couldn't keep us away. And when we came, he couldn't keep us from having the right attitude when we come. We come in victory. We walk in there saying, man, I fought the devils. I feel horrible. I have been so hounded by this person. My boss cussed me out. My best friend said this about me. My car broke down. My own family can't stand me anymore. But I'm here to get a blessing from God. Get out of my way. Brother, if we come in with that kind of zeal, that kind of attitude, we would go out of here through the walls. How many times it takes half the sermon and go through the song service and half the service just to get people to start, okay, I believe again. Okay, things are going to be okay again. Let's come that way. It's a lack of personal relationship with Christ on your own time. That's all it is. It's all it is. If you're sitting there letting Satan beat you down and beating you down in your head and you're beating you and your mind is just going crazy and pretty soon you're all depressed and whatever, you're not spending time in prayer. You say, Brother Phil, no, Satan ever beat you down in your mind? All the time. And then what do? You get to a point where you say, stop it! I don't have to put up with this. This is my choice. I know what Satan's doing. He's attacking me in my mind. He's trying to get my thoughts negative. He's trying to get me worried. He's trying to get me all tore up about something. But I don't have to be. You know what I have to do? I have to go to God and say, God, I can't deal with this. This is in your hands. You made the promise. You made the promise. It's on you. I'm yours. Save me. I'm yours. Heal me. I'm yours. Deliver me. And then believe he's going to do it. Seven, because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. How does that work today? You go to that church in Dixon? Why would you sit there and listen to Brother Jerry preach? There's a bad attitude. There's a bad spirit there. I know the things that have happened in that church. Look at the mess you've been through. Look at the people around. Look at your family, the way they treat you. Verse 8, I have become a stranger unto my brethren and alien unto my mother's children. How many of you have family that have rejected you? Some of them message believers, huh? And maybe they haven't been rejected like flat out just mean, but they say, you know what, you're in the wrong place, whatever, and you know, we're not going to fellowship over here. And some of them flat right out and say, you're just crazy, you're just in a cult, whatever. Born to reproach your own family. And then he says, let me just read verse 8. I am become a stranger to my brethren and alien unto my mother's children, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Why were they estranged and why did they reject him? Why has all this happened? Why have these people done this? Why? Because the zeal of God's house has eaten him up. That's why he's been rejected. That's why he's putting up with all this stuff. That's why he's going through the deep water, because he's so zealous for God and the people don't like it. They reject him. What does that eaten up mean? It means to devour, to burn, to feed on. My. Devoured by your desire for Christ. You just eat up with it. You just feed on it. It's just a burning something inside of you. It's not emotion, but it causes you to be emotional. It causes emotion because that's the way we express ourselves. But it's something coming from the inside. And you just say, I've just got to have more of this. Whatever it takes to get there. And if I had to sit there and have the ministry just chop me to pieces and whoop me and throw me out there and whatever it takes, if I had to be humiliated, if I had to be exposed, whatever it takes, but I've got to have more God. And your friends and your family look at you and said, I would never sit underneath that ministry. Oh, they might not say it, but they ain't here, are they? But you are. Something wrong with you. You esteem God more than your daily bread. You say, I don't feel like that all the time, brother. I don't ask how you feel. I'm telling you what your actions are proving. The only thing we need is just more of that. Stay in that presence more. Stay in victory more. It's a battle, brothers and sisters, but as we go, as we grow, as we mature in Christ, as we come, we should be able to do this longer, more and more, and not keep getting kicked all around all the time. We need to come to a place where we become soldiers, where we stand there in the fight, and we're not being beat around all the time, not being knocked down all the time. I didn't say the battles end. The battles increase. The intensity increases, but so does your strength. It's an intense desire for God. Verse 10, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. People just made fun of you. People looked down on you. I made sackcloth my garment. I became a proverb unto them. They that sit in the gate speak against me. I am the song of the drunkards. Then he says, 13, but as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Let's go back to verse 13. He says, in an acceptable time. There it is, brother and sister. When it's time. You walk in faith, you walk through the battle, you walk through the fire, you walk through the flood, you walk through the valleys, whatever it has, but in an acceptable time, God's going to come and bring his word to pass. Promise, guaranteed. If you keep going, it's up to you. Now, he's going to do it. Now, you might start and stop and start and stop. He said, if you will just keep going, you're going to come to it. I'm speaking from experience. Up and down, in and out, trying. He said, in an acceptable time, when you come to a point where you start believing, you're going to see me do things in your life that you just dreamed about. You never thought possible. In an acceptable time, God's going to answer your prayer if you don't lose heart. We're going to stop. Just feel led to stop. Put a little foundation in. The problem, folks, is God has some things here to say that are going to preach that he says there's not enough people that are going to hear it tonight. Not that not enough people, but there's people who need to hear this who aren't here tonight. So we're going to stop. And we're going to go longer Sunday. God did put this, give me to this so that people could sit at home and not hear it. And some people are at home for a legitimate reason. I'm not saying anything against that. But there is a reason God gave us. And right now he's saying, just stop right here, because I want more people here who need to hear what you got to say right here. What I have to say, not him, not me, him. All right? We're good? Let's stand. I almost feel like a hypocrite when I talk about people not being here, because I miss more church than anybody. It's usually from work and stuff like that, but I know I'm gone from here a lot. And I don't like that, but that's next this month, couple weekends, week after this coming one, I'm going to be in Indiana, having a family reunion. I'm going to preach up there, so I'll be gone. And the week after that, I'm actually taking another vacation, so I'll be gone. Actually, 2 weeks after that, not the next week, but there's, when you can be in church, folks, you got to be here. You got to be here with the right attitude. We got to grow. We need to go in a rapture. We need to go in a rapture. You hear what happened last week? Brother Brandon, when he was preaching Choosing of the Bride, before he started, I mean, at the beginning of that, he said something, I can't remember how it was, but let me just go on to the end. He starts prophesying about Los Angeles going on into the ocean, right? That's the first time he really came out and prophesied it. And he said, during that, he said, that honeycomb under you, he said, it goes all the way to the Salton Sea. That wave is going to break off clear to the Salton Sea, something like that. I'm sorry, I don't have it, the quote, but that's what he said. He mentioned the Salton Sea. He said that wave, he said the tidal wave is going to go all the way to Arizona. Last week, I think it was beginning of last week, underneath the Salton Sea, there was over 200 earthquakes. And the experts said there's a good chance that in the very near future, there's going to be a major earthquake in Southern California. It hasn't happened yet. But when the scientists are saying the same thing the prophet said, and they know that underneath there it's sand, and when it mixes with water, it just turns into a muddy goo, and it just, there's no way to hold it up, and that's just getting more and more washed out. That land mass has to fall off and slide out. It has to. And it's happening all the way, that San Andreas Fault runs right through there, and that's all the way up there where that's shaking clear up there where Brother Branham said it would be. What's it going to take to get us serious? What's it going to take to get us desperate? What's it going to take to get us to a point, brother and sister, where we are going to sell out completely and say, we got to have God? And I don't say that like we aren't doing that, but brother and sister, more and more, the more you sell out to Christ, then you recognize the more you need to do it. Because he wants all of us. He wants everything. I'm so glad we're on the right way. We're getting there, brother and sister. Let's keep going. Lord Jesus, we're just grateful that you would come and just speak this simple little message tonight, Lord, just to encourage us. And Lord, when we're going through our trials, we understand, Lord, that it's the very zeal we have for you, Lord, is what brings the persecution. It's the way people treat people who are closer to Christ than them, and to justify and to find fault and whatever it takes, Lord Jesus, so that they don't allow the living Christ to have effect in their life. But Lord, we want to be those people who do allow you to have the effect. We want to be the ones, Lord, that you died for, that you came for, that you call your bride. Lord Jesus, we believe this is true. We believe it's according to your word. And we just thank you, Father. And help us then to walk from here in faith, Lord, believing. And this we ask in your name. Again, Lord, bless the ones who aren't here, Lord. Keep them safe, Lord. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus as we go, "Oh, I want to see him look upon his face."